Grace and peace to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. In that hymn we just sang, it said in the third stanza, as they offered gifts most rare at thy cradle, rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to thee, our heavenly King. That stanza confesses and talks about the gifts that the wise men brought. And so tonight I put together the page that you saw called Inspired Gifts. Inspiring gifts, right? And in the bold there, as it says, not to earn heaven. And of course, when the wise men brought those gifts to Jesus, they weren't doing it to buy his love or buy his favor or buy God's favor. They were doing it because they wanted to worship, right? They brought that to worship Jesus, to show and confess that this Jesus, this child that was born, that they've come so far away to worship and see, is precious, is holy, is something special. They just brought that to help him. And so we see here, not to earn heaven, but in love and response to Jesus and his sacrificial gift. And indeed, it is a sacrificial gift that Jesus brings to earth. And we'll talk about that in a moment too. His loving death and his resurrection for us, for our justification and result in eternal life. Therefore, we are inspired by the Holy Spirit to study the gifts of the wise men and discern what they mean and inspire in us today. I put three Bible verses down below to kind of put us in the realm of thought about these gifts too. Luke 6:34, how does this relate to the wise men? Kind of interestingly, if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. At Christmas time, you notice how you often give a gift to somebody and they give you a gift. You're like, oh, that's nice. And you kind of, you know, if we're trying to weigh things out, we're kind of equal. That was nice and I got this back. And it's kind of a tit for tat, you know, this for that. But indeed, when the wise men brought gifts, did they go home with anything? Not really, nothing material, so to speak. I'll talk about the gifts that they got later. But they did just bring these gifts as a gift, pure, holy, given without expectation of anything in return. And that makes them not sinners, like it says in that text, but holy, to give without expecting something in return. That's a good inspirational kind of gift for us to give to as Christians. Acts 20:35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Certainly it is more blessed to give than to receive. Remember that. And then finally, from Proverbs 11, a little promise to those who do give, right? One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. That's a profound way to talk about those who give are often blessed, don't they? And it's not because they give that they're blessed, but it seems like there is something about giving. The life of giving is a blessing. And he himself will be watered, whether that's spiritually or materially, whichever God endows in his mind to do, so be it. Looking on the back, though, let's think about those gifts for a moment. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We're inspired by Epiphany to think about those gifts that the wise men brought. What do they mean? Why did they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh? You ever thought about that? Well, some say, because you'll find in the Old Testament prophecy of them bringing gold and frankincense, some say that these were standard gifts that you brought to a king or to a deity. And in this case, you'd kind of have it both, wouldn't you? A king and a deity. King and a god, both. And so the wise men bringing that gift may be a confession that this person is both king and god. That might be what it means. In particular, we can think about what those gifts mean individually. What does the gold mean? Well, gold they'd often give to kings. It's a precious metal. It still is a precious metal today, right? And so the gold, we think of king, that's probably the biggest thing we think about, that kind of role, the role of king, and a confession that whoever receives this is king. Now we give all of our precious things to the king, so to speak. And that's what the confession and bringing of the gold to Jesus meant. He is the king of creation, king above all kings, If these guys were kings, we don't know. We know they're magi or wise men. Some say that they were kings. We three kings of Orient are. If they're kings and they're bringing the gift of gold, they're saying that he's really the king of kings. He's our king. And so what a great confession that is. Second gift, the frankincense. That actually is highlighting his priestly role. The priestly role, some say. That's the spiritual significance of the frankincense. Why? Because in the temple, they used to have an altar of incense that they'd burn inside the temple. And priests would do that. They'd offer incense. Zechariah, we heard earlier this year, he was offering incense at the time when the angel came and told him that he was going to have a child named John the Baptist. He was offering the incense. As we sang in our opening tonight, "Let my prayer rise before you as incense." And the priests used to offer the incense at the time of prayer, I think around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Interesting. So the incense highlights Jesus' priestly personhood. He's going to be a great high priest. That's what we should think of when we think and hear of frankincense. And finally, the myrrh, that's kind of a prefiguring of Jesus' death. Myrrh was something that is a costly oil or ointment that they would anoint dead bodies with for their burial. And so to give the gift of myrrh is to say, well, this child really is one who's born to die. And indeed, as a Savior, he is born to die for us, to give us eternal life. So when you hear about the myrrh, you think of burial, you think of that kind of anointing, you think of prefiguring him as our Savior, the one who's going to die on the cross for us. So gold, the king, frankincense, the priest, myrrh, the Savior who's going to die and rise again for us. A third little kind of caveat, a little side, a little interesting point. Also, some say that frankincense, that middle gift, they thought would help people with their arthritis. So maybe they were giving this to him thinking that someday he'll have arthritis and that'll help him out. I don't know if that's true or not. But I've read a little bit on frankincense. They said that that could actually help arthritis. So kind of a healing properties, if you will. Well, I don't know about the arthritis, but Jesus does heal us of all of our diseases, doesn't he? He heals us of everything, the sin and that virus that infects us all, so that we can be healed and stand before God in heaven one day, purely healed, perfect, great health one day as we stand in heaven. Praise be to God. Well, what gifts did God give the wise men? They brought Jesus' gifts. Did God give them any gifts? I thought of four. They all have an S in them, right? The first gift is what? See, they're the star and the safe travels, right? They made it all that way without breaking down and having to go back home. That's pretty good, you know, all that, especially back in those days, to travel afar like that and have a star to kind of guide them to where they could go. That was a gift from God. Obviously, they had known how to read the sky and how to read the stars, and when that phenomenon came about, they knew it was time to go and see this thing. So that was a gift from God, the star, and safe travels. The second thing, to know that a king would be born, what would they need? The scriptures, right? So obviously, we thank God that he's revealed his word and that the word traveled to where it did, maybe during the exile of Israel up in Syria a long time ago under Daniel, where they created a school, and perhaps that's where the word got passed down to these wise men so they could read and then look up and see what was going on and go, now is the time. Behold. So thank God for the scriptures. That was a gift that he gave to them. The third thing, to see what? The Savior. To see the Savior. Man, that's quite a great gift. You imagine being able to see Jesus in the flesh? That's quite a big gift. I can't wait to see him. That'll be a great gift to say, yes, aha, everything that I hoped for, everything I dreamed that was true because of God's word being revealed in this world, even though I didn't know for sure, didn't see it for sure, that which I put my faith in and hope in, I actually get to see as the wise men did. What a great gift that was for them, and it will be for us too. And finally, real S. It's a Greek word for wisdom. Real Sophia or Sophos, you might say. These were wise men, but the real wisdom was Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So to see Jesus is to see the wisdom of God. One day, God in the flesh will hang on the cross for all of us, and that's God's wisdom, it says in the Bible. God is wise because he is buying us back so that his creation doesn't just go into folly, but that he actually sees the purpose for which he created the world, which is to have heaven with some who are going to, by faith, believe and live with him eternally. That's the wisdom of God, that he's giving his Son so that all of us who are wise will look upon the Son and live. Praise be to God. Finally, what gifts should we be inspired to give because God gave his Son for us at Christmas? I thought of four things, four gifts. Now, one is our praise and thanksgiving. That's what we come here to do today in Epiphany. Thank and praise God. Thank you, O God. You revealed your Son. You revealed your light. We thank and we praise you. The second thing is gifts, material gifts to other people, expecting nothing in return. That's something we can do. God wants us to help our neighbor. He's given us the greatest gift in the world so that we can also help and give gifts and show mercy to others. So may we be generous in Epiphany season and all the year through, helping others, giving gifts to others. Praise be to God. Third kind of gift that we give is immaterial. It's the gift of eternal life. It's telling others about Jesus. It's living the life of faith, coming to church and inviting others, sharing the good news that we have a Savior who was born for us in Bethlehem, sharing and living that life of faith. That's a gift. And finally, what's the one more gift we could give? Our whole life in sacrificial service to our neighbor, to our children, to our parents, to our neighbors in need. Our whole life is a gift to God. We're living sacrifices. We're living gifts to God. He created us to be benefits, to be a gift to others. So may our whole lives be a gift because of the grace that we've received. May we see our lives as a gift from him and thank and praise him and also live as a gift towards others. Praise be to God. Amen.